Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man, Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
Welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, and I'm out here with Chris Loxamana. We're cruising the aisles of SEMA 2017. Thanks for everybody who listened to our Optima show. That was a good, fun live show. Nice product release with them. And so we're going to start off with a two-episode special SEMA episode. This one and another one will come after this. We're going to cruise around. We're going to check out some of the new products here. And as we're doing this, as you're listening to this, go back to carcastshow.com and check out our huge photo galleries. We'll put some stuff there and definitely our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/carcastshow. So let's go ahead. Let's get started with the Ring Brothers. All right, guys, here we are. We're kicking things off at SEMA 2017 with the Ring Brothers. Mike, Jim, how are you guys?
Hey, good. Nice. Good, thanks, Matt, for having us here.
You know, we started talking with you guys, I don't know, years ago at SEMA, and you brought a car. It was amazing. And then, of course, everybody's like, what's next? What's next? I'm like, let's just focus on the cars that are in front of us.
Thank you.
And you had one car, and then you showed up with two cars, and I was like, what's going on? You're like, listen, one's enough. Really, one's enough work as it is. How many cars did you guys bring to SEMA this year?
Three.
Okay.
That's enough.
You're not listening to your own rules. Yeah. You're not even listening to your own rules.
That's the last time that's going to happen, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's not going to happen again.
Last year was exciting with the Happy Camper.
Yeah, it was fun. Actually, we had four last year, counting that.
Well,
that Winnebago is just a blast. I miss that thing.
That was your Bear Jackson buy, right? Your big score at Bear Jackson.
Yeah.
We got pummeled on that thing.
It was fun, though.
Yeah? So tell me what you guys have here at SEMA this year.
We've got a 56 Ford F-100 pickup. Actually, it started its life as a 54, but we put a 56 cab on it, and pretty much everything else was hand-built and bed. The wheels were stretched forward 6 inches to get rid of that. As everybody knows, them old Fords had that big overhang in the front, so it got rid of that. Got a 72 AMX Javelin, which is kind of a crazy car. Obviously, you either like that car or you hate it, so that car's pretty exciting. We built that for Prestone Antifreeze, corporate car for them. And we got a 69 Dodge Charger that's going to spend the rest of its life in London, England.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. We'll have two cars in London, believe it or not. Wonder if anybody else can say that here.
I don't know. It's a good question. So we're sitting here in your booth now. You guys, also, let's talk about the parts before we get a little more into the cars. There's a big parts business that you guys have, which is amazing because when people go around and they see your cars, they see them in person, see them in the magazines, videos, and there's a lot of cool pieces on there. There's hood hinges and door latches and door handles and things like that, right? So where are you guys with the parts now? What's new?
Well, hopefully next year is where we really start on the truck side of it. I think we've been influenced by the trucks the last few years and really want to take off on that direction. But, yeah, most of our parts were developed because we had a need, right, for what we were building and what we wanted to do. And it just, like you said, people would say, oh, I'd like to get a set of those for mine or parts. So it was a way to build a business besides the car business, just creating parts that we think are needed out there.
Okay. What are some of the parts that are out available now? Is there particular cars that they're for? Like Gen 1 Mustangs, Gen 2 Mustangs?
Definitely have a lot of different parts that are direct fit for several different cars. You know, a lot of hood hinges and, you know, door handles that are direct fit for GMs and Fords and stuff. But, you know, we're also concentrating on a lot of our parts that can actually work on anything you've got. You know, we do charge port systems and a lot of different fasteners.
The hood latches, the pins.
Yeah. Our fasteners are very popular. You know, it seems like a lot of people building cars tend to actually get to the end of it, and they don't know what to put in for fasteners, so they'll go to Home Depot and buy some stainless bolts and put them in, which look fine. But, you know, we tried to take it to the next level and just make a little nicer pieces for them to be able to bolt their stuff together.
Yeah, how many times you open up the hood, and it's great, and it's an amazing paint job, but you realize the fender bolts underneath the hood are just... Yeah. They're plain.
Yeah,
they're all the same color.
Swing
you can kind of show them up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So you guys are doing mostly billet stuff? Are you doing carbon stuff?
A little of each, you know, with today's ability with people being able to scan and copy so easily today, we've tried to mix more materials into ours to try to eliminate a little of that. So we're adding carbon. Even in some of our parts, we're doing a little 3D printing. Parts inside the part to just make it a little tougher to
add some cosmetic bits to it, like put some
different
carbon
textures.
Inlays.
Yeah.
That's funny because we were just talking a second ago how we were walking around the SEMA show. Adam Carolla was here, and we did a live show with Optima yesterday, and we're walking around and we're seeing some of the colors, and Adam's like, Ring Brothers did that 10 years ago. That's a Ring Brothers color. Everybody's following along on that now. And the other thing Adam mentioned was textures. And because he notices this the way I did, I was like, man, he brought it up. He's like, you know, I'm looking on some of these cars because not everybody's doing the leather interiors now. They're doing different type of patterns and cloths and checkers and stuff. And I was like, yeah, Ring's been doing that when they were putting headliner material on the floor.
Yep.
He's like, that's right. Again, everybody's stealing from the Ring Brothers.
Wow. That's quite a compliment. That's for sure.
So we're sitting here in your booth, which is great. You guys have a booth here again this year. We're looking at the truck, which you're going to hate this, but I'm going to say the truck is sporting HRE's versions of Lamborghini Countach wheels.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we did have them machine them on a conical.
So it would look straight up like Lamborghini Countach.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's got like kind of the phone dial, kind of like five-hole wheels. They look amazing on this, right? You guys
I hate it. He was the only one at the shop. We're like, he's fucking nuts.
I ordered them without anybody knowing, and they all just screamed at me. They said, it ain't going to work.
You open the box.
Oh,
what?
We hate it.
We got 5 days. Yeah, you better hurry up. We're never going to get them made.
But we ended up putting them on, and honestly, I haven't had anybody that hated them on the truck. I think they work.
Just Mike?
Yeah, just Mike.
Just me at first. They're growing on me, I guess.
They're good. So Chris is going to take some photos of the car. We're going to post them all up on carcastshow.com. But just give us a little run-through, sort of front to back, some of the cool features of this thing. So when we look at the photos, people can go back and see visually in their head.
Well,
it's green.
It started out it's green, but it started out as a 54 because that's what we bought. We bought a 54 pickup, and we love the grill on a 54. Well, then Jim and I went to Scottsdale last year to a Good Guys event, and we saw the 53 to 55 truck, and then we'd see a 56. It was such a difference with the cab.
You know,
to me, the 53 to 5, they look like a balding guy with his head back. They got such a rake to the A-pillar.
And they're real bulgy on top. Yeah, somebody threw a cherry bomb in them, and they puffed them out.
Yeah. So we decided then we had to get a 56 cab. So we'd already had the chassis done and everything on the 54, although they're the same. But we kept the grill of the 54, got a 56 cab, because they got like their own built-in visor and stuff.
Yeah.
Moved the wheels 7 inches forward from stock, which then we moved all the material to the back of the fender that used to be in the front of the fender. Kept the louvers. Most guys take them out at the cab, you know, for the old vents when you open them up. We actually put it on both sides. So normally it's just on one side. Now it's on both sides.
Okay.
Rounded all the doors. They used to be real square, the corners.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we rounded them. Running boards are 2 inches wider than they would be normally because the rear fenders are 2 inches wider.
Yeah, so you widen the fenders.
And they're also put into motion almost the way we shape the to get both front and rear openings.
The wheel wells on these are huge, by the way, from factory, so we closed them in to just tighten it up around
really?
The tire.
Everybody else goes, hey, I got to put a 20-inch wheel. We need more wheel well. Yeah. They go bigger. Yeah. You guys went smaller.
We went smaller.
Yeah.
Try to make it proportionally correct to the wheel.
Yeah.
The running boards, you see the insert in the running boards. It looks like it's rubber, but what it is we machined it in a Bridgeport, then powder coated it to give it the effect that it's rubber.
Yeah.
But it's really just powder coated
aluminum.
Rubber
would have been cheaper, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you could
have saved a couple bucks. I'm just saying.
Yep. the box is made from scratch.
Yeah, that looks fantastic. Tell us about the bed of the truck.
Inside is actually, I just wanted to do something in wood because it typically would have had wood in it. And so it's basically cherry strips that are about 2 inches tall and 3/4 inch wide, and they're laid in to this grid system that we machined. So it, you know, they all lay straight and stay straight, but you don't want to haul a can of nails in it because they're going to go right through down.
They're going to go through. So if you picture it, it's almost like a fence. There's a piece of wood and then a gap and a piece of wood and a gap and a piece of wood and a gap.
Exactly.
It looks amazing, but it's got a great texture to it. Just throw a rubber mat down, you can haul.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
It actually, you know, it allows you to be able to kind of see right through the back of the truck and see what's going on underneath, which is kind of cool. You get little peekaboos when you look through there.
Now, how many people come by and they're like, oh, 56, I had one just like it.
You heard it. You were here.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy's like, oh.
Everybody had one.
The guy, he's like, oh, that Cadillac you guys had last year was amazing. He's like, I built two of them just like it. It's like, just like it? Exactly like that? I don't think so. I don't think you spent 5,000 hours on your Cadillac.
Funny part is when Mike asked if he was crazy, he said, yep.
Yeah, based on that response. Yeah, it totally was. Okay, so let's talk about the Javelin real quick, too, which is
that
I saw
was really
pictures
fun.
Of it so far. We're going to go over and grab some more photos of it. So you just decided, like, let's take an ugly-ass vehicle and do something with it.
It is.
Right?
You know, I'll tell you what, you
like
them or
you
hate
there's like one
Mike.
Javelin fan going, no, man, those things are gorgeous.
Mike always says he actually
I'm
loves
sure
them,
Adam but. Loves those cars. Yeah. We're going to build one for Adam. I know he'll buy it.
A Javelin?
Yeah.
I don't know. We've been talking about doing like a Z car. Like
there
a
you
cool
go,
Z
yeah.
Car, like an all-wheel drive.
Well, once he sees this Javelin, he'll have to have one.
Yeah.
But no, it was a one-owner car from the town where Jim and I grew up. We actually saw the car from brand new. Last time the oil was changed was 77, and I did it in my brother's garage.
Wow.
So Jim can tell the story on how we...
So you guys suck at maintenance, that's for
yeah,
sure.
pretty much.
No, I knew this car was sitting in... He was actually my next-door neighbor up in a small town called Plain, Wisconsin. And I knew the car was always sitting in his garage. He's never moved it. He's never done anything. We bought it brand new, drove it to, I think, right around that time, 77, 78, and he parked in his garage, and it's been there ever since. And I was cooking, frying fish for our church fish fry, and he was next to me frying fish, and he said, you want my car? And I said, hell yeah. So we went and looked at it, and we bought it. I think it was a great fit for Prestone just because AMXs were actually built in Wisconsin, but the kind of the cool part about it is Prestone's trying to get the point across that their antifreeze works in pretty much any brand and every brand.
Yeah.
And by doing an AMX, we all know that they had a horse from every town. They were buying parts for GM, Ford, Chrysler. I mean, them cars were a hodgepodge of a lot of different car company parts. So it was a good way to tell a story, and the car worked, you know.
And to get somebody to put money into an AMX.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's pretty
radical.
It's
not a Camaro,
right?
So it's pretty hard going.
Jeez.
How you doing, man?
Hey. How you doing, buddy?
Have you been working out? Not after, by the way, Bill Goldberg just rolled up, our buddy Bill Goldberg.
Right now.
I don't know, after the...
Walking the floor, that's my workout.
Your workout?
Them. Look at them boots.
Your workout wasn't the 9 hot dogs you ate last night?
The 7, yeah.
7, okay. All right.
To saturate the alcohol that I didn't drink last night.
Oh, yeah, right.
We'll catch you later, buddy. Bill Goldberg,
a mountain of a
constantly
man.
Ruining podcasts across America.
Yeah.
Step again. He's a good dude.
He is.
So the AMX.
It's
what's powering it?
A Hellcat with a 4.5 liter Whipple. detuned, it's making like 1,038. It's probably capable at 13 if you want to turn the volume up on it.
Did you guys drive it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, Jim's got some serious rubber laid down on it.
I had to call the cops before I took it out because I knew I was going to get in trouble.
Might as well just come over right now.
I have a great relationship with the local cop.
Sure.
A little story about that. He comes over all the time, and he wanted a ride, and I forget even which car it was, but I was out, and we got a lady that calls the cops on us every single time we go out. This lady calls us in, and so the chief of police is sitting in the car with me, and I'm out in the middle of the intersection doing donuts with him, like just getting it on, right? He's got his gun, his badge, everything's in the passenger seat laughing. All of a sudden, his radio goes out and says, "Chief, you better get out to the Ring Brothers. They're tearing the streets up." And he says, "I got her under control." And he puts his thing back, and we just keep going.
Let's hope they don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, at least it was the chief, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
It always helps to call ahead. Then my other story is Sauk County Sheriff's Department, which is kind of the bigger policing device in our area. We actually painted one of their tactical vehicles for them, and it was kind of a donation from us to them for a get-out-of-jail-free card. But I was in the little blue Mustang convertible we had in our booth here last year. No seats in the car. I had the guy tuning the car. I'm sitting on the floor with a laptop. We were doing about 30 miles an hour down a 25. Got to the end, and I looked up, and one of these sheriffs were sitting there in an SUV looking down at me. I'm like, I'm going to jail for sure here. And he looks in the car and says, "No seat belts." And I looked up and I said, "No seats." And so he says, "I'm going back to Baraboo now." And he just drove away, thank God. But
yeah, you don't live here, right?
No,
stay in your own town. guys, all right. Thank you so much. What are you guys driving? What are you driving personally?
I had that Golf R. I got rid of it to my son, and I'm in a Dodge truck right now.
I'm in a Chevy truck.
Yeah, you guys.
He actually just bought his Dodge truck. I made him a little trophy for the world's ugliest pickup truck. I put it in his cup holder.
So it's not new?
Yeah, no. But my big thing is my daughter, she's the only one that really likes cars. We're building a little 1972 BMW 2002 TII together. So that's pretty cool. You don't see them in Wisconsin, that's for sure.
What are you going to put in it? What kind of motor?
You know, she wants it stock.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a TI.
Has she been to your shop?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. I don't know that we do stock over there, right? Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, but...
Yeah, just let Jim order the wheels.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun surprise. All right, guys, we go to ringbrothers.com, right? Check out all the new parts. And we're going to post a bunch of pictures up on carcastshow.com.
Great. Thanks,
guys, thank you so much.
Appreciate
Always a
everything.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
What a great way to kick off our CEMA coverage.
Thanks for noticing us many years ago.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, we're in the next booth. We're ready to go. More CEMA. We're here with our good friend John Hotchkiss in the Hotchkiss booth. How are you, John?
Oh, Matt, doing great, and what a CEMA. You know, every year we talk about what CEMA is like and can it get any bigger or better, and this one certainly has.
So you've guys got some new stuff going on. You got a Camaro in the booth. You've got a Malibu in the booth. But, you know, I'm a Mustang guy, and you got more Mustang suspension. This is something you guys have been working on for years now. I've been watching the development of sway bars for Gen 1 Mustangs and then... You know, the rear leafs and the shocks and stuff for it, but now you're stepping up your game.
We really are, and to give you just a quick overview before we talk about the Mustang, we just were awarded with the 65 Chevelle Dick Etchison's car that has a GM-supplied LT1, say 2017 Corvette engine, and it's going to be in the Optimum Challenge.
Oh,
Challenge, not Optimum, but it... Dick is super excited, and he'll be out there and doing autocross and road course and everything else this weekend. So huge!
That'll be exciting. We've been talking about the Optima Challenge on CarCast and Shift and Steer this week. We did a live show in Optima's booth. Adam and I,
which you would have heard,
because we're releasing shows all this week, multiple CarCast episodes. So if you're listening to this one, go back. You might have missed one. There's one coming after this. And then we sat down with Ken Lingenfelter. He's quite a competitor out there, you know.
Yes. I'll tell you, it's amazing. And there's so many cars, and those cars have gotten better and better. And so kind of a roundabout to answer your question about the Mustang, our products need to get better and better, and now we manufacture and do more R&D in Mooresville, North Carolina. So we have, for the Gen 1 Mustang, we have a brand new spindle we're showing at SEMA. So the fact is, all these cars, whether it's Falcon or BFG, there's more grip put on these older muscle cars than they were ever designed for. So the spindles flex and the axle sub-axle flexes. So we have a new spindle made out of 4130 sheet chrome moly. Has the brakes of a 2014 and older Mustang. So it has the big axle, the big bearings. Can put big Cobra brakes on it or Brembos or Wilwoods. But that combined with our lower arm, our upper arm, an adjustable strut rod gives a full solution for the corner front corner of a of 64 to 70 Mustang.
You know, one of the things that I've always liked about your company is all of the suspension packages, and maybe you're getting away with this because getting away from it because you have to, but all of the suspension packages were complete bolt-on. And so if you had something really special, you had a 65 Mustang, even a Shelby, a GT350 or an R or something like that, you still could bolt on your stuff, put that stuff on the shelf, the old stuff, and then go back if you wanted to.
Oh, absolutely, Matt. We still do that. There are some things that we'll bring out in 2018 that are weld on. But the big deal is if you can, if we optimize the suspension, geometry correct it all, make it stronger and just better. You can bolt it on in stock locations or as we in the Mustang, we do the Shelby drop in the front so there's more better camber curve. But it is. It's bolt-on products that make these cars into just incredible handling machines.
Where do you usually start? Do you usually start by looking at sway bars and then go to springs and then start going to chassis components? Like, what's the process with Hotchkiss? Because we see the products in your lineup, and then ultimately you end at what you call a TVS, right? Your total vehicle system. Yeah, I know my Hotchkiss shit.
You really
do. I'm down with it. But where do you usually start? You pick up a car and you say, this is going to be our next project.
You know, it depends. If it's a new car, then we'll say, okay, how can we make it better? Because we can make incremental steps or make it better by a small percentage, because the cars now, new cars are so much better than they were previously. But with a muscle car, we act like we turn it over, turn it on its lid. We imagine scraping everything off. We analyze it. We say, okay, what is the present suspension geometry? What does it lack? What does it do? How does it handle? And we'll start with, again, you're right, we'll start with sway bars, start with springs, start with shocks, start with the basics. And then from there we see how do we optimize the geometry, what's the largest tire could put on it. Also, what's the car going to be used for? More of these cars are being used for canyon carving, freeway off-ramp driving, like Angeles Crest or Tail the Dragon in the southeast, or real road course or autocross. So we say, okay, what do we make the parts for? Then go from there. And it's an evolution. What we start with is not what we sell. It's probably three generations. It takes about three generation products to get the parts to the market.
Yeah. So that's an important thing. I want to talk about that, or at least mention that here, because the fact of the matter is in this industry, things are very competitive. People rush to market on things. Some people see a product and they copy it, and some people just kind of do the math in their head. They're like, hey, you've got a stamped control arm, tubular is better. But you're spending money on a product that does absolutely nothing if you're not looking at the geometry and the improvements that need to be made. Like, where are the flaws in the system? You guys go out and test these cars. I've been to Willow Springs on one of your testing days where you're there and you do laps of the car, you bring it in, you put it on jack stands, you're taking stuff apart, you're making adjustments, trying it again, and getting baseline numbers. And you guys are still sponsoring an autocross series, right?
We do that, and wherever we're running an autocross, we always have a car out there with some test mule with some products on it to see what it'll do. But that's exactly right. And there's more competition in the suspension world because it's people think they can make a quick buck with cheap suspension. So, you know, they look at what we do, they take a picture of it, they get it made somewhere offshore, and then all of a sudden it's half price or more. And then people buy it. You know, there's, along with looking at smartphones and everything else, people's, their attention span is much shorter. They just say, hey, I want to, I'll take it, whatever it is, just give it to me and put it on my car. But that's the worst thing that happens, because then the ride is not good, the results are not there, the shop that puts it on has to modify either the car or the part. And so we end up which is really kind of the worst thing a customer can happen, is when they have to take off the cheap stuff because they were such in a rush to buy it that they didn't buy the stuff that was tested and improved and really optimized for their car.
I know it's cliche, but that's the story. That's the way it goes. If you buy the cheap stuff, you're going to end up buying other stuff later, and the whole thing's going to be a waste of time, a waste of money. And like it's amazing how everybody can tell that story. Oh, I've been down that road. That was a mistake. We still continue to do it and do it, but you shouldn't. You shouldn't do it. You guys have great stuff. And here's your thing is the Hotchkiss stuff isn't expensive. In the world of, you know, $10,000 front suspension systems that are out there for Gen 1 Camaros and Mustangs, that's a little overkill. You don't, there's too much. There needs to be a happy medium of getting the best quality products at a fair price. It sounds like an infomercial now. At a fair price, but it's going to perform. And I always felt like Hotchkiss kind of fit the bill.
We really do. And for, let's say, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 worth of suspension, you can make any one of your favorite cars handle just incredibly well.
And but at that price, you're doing the whole car.
The whole car. But you can do start with sway bars, start with springs, start with shocks. But some of the things that we do, for instance, I talked about our manufacturing in Mooresville. You know, we buy miles of steel, we cut it, we weld it. We either robotic weld it or we have 5 TIG welding stations.
Yeah.
And so everything is handcrafted. It's not just produced, but it really is handcrafted. And so it's American made and finest coatings, the finest plating. You know, when you just look at it, we want to make sure that people are proud of what they purchased as well. So, and it's all here at SEMA.
Okay, so we're here, we're in your booth. Run through a couple of the new products or what.
Okay, Matt, if you look over there, you see the Mustang lower arms. And they're the two different versions for the two different first-gen Mustangs. But what's new about them, you see in the end, they're adjustable. So you can adjust the camber from the bottom of the arm. The early car, Mustang, doesn't even have camber adjustment.
I'm well aware.
And so you can do it from the top arm. But, hey, if you're going to put 2 or 3 degrees of camber in it, really make it work, you need to have an adjustable lower arm. We have that. We have for Mopars, for B&E, Cuda, Challenger, Charger, we have adjustable on-the-car front A-arms, and those are geometry-corrected. We've changed the mounting pickup points. And that it was so cool. That was won second place in the best performance street product in the new product category. So we're very excited about that.
Congratulations.
And then we have revised Mustang sway bars. You know what, Matt? We always, when we make something and we can improve it, whether it's out testing it or autocross testing a road course, we'll bring in different, if we make it more adjustable or if we can make it a different sway bar, we'll do that. Then you look over and we have the complete package for 64 to 72 A bodies and also 78 to 88 G bodies. So Grand Nationals, El Caminos, Monte Carlos, we can make those handle like new Camaros.
With all
of that. And then working with Fox with the shocks, we have aluminum body shock, high gas pressure, 22 position adjustable rebound. So, again, that adjustment works incredibly well. That mated with all the suspension in the upper and lower A-arms. And springs, too. So the boards are full.
The boards are full. You're, what, 3-4 years in the relationship with Fox now?
We are. It's actually 5.
5 years.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrific. But then behind us, you probably didn't know this. If you look over by Chris, that board is all BMW sway bars.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't know that we have the largest selection of BMW sway bars, the most aggressive BMW sway bars of any company. And so they're winning an E46s, E36s. We have E92. We have the all-wheel drive version. We have 1, 2, 3, and 4 series BMW.
Nice.
And so we're really excited about introducing lots more products for BMWs.
Okay. And then before we wrap up, I just want to touch on SEMA. You're such a big part of SEMA, been a long time board member of SEMA. You've just so involved with the organization as a whole. This is great. What's your take on it? How's the industry doing?
I think the industry is doing fabulously well. We came back from the recession that was...
We're going 10 years now.
Yeah, it really hurt, and it's been growing ever since. If you just look around, you see the products are the more quality products. There are certainly a huge amount of people here.
Yeah.
We did a Facebook Live yesterday, and I just had the guys point the camera out by Ford and just see all the people, and staggering how many are here. They say 150 or 60,000 show attendees.
Yeah.
It's just unreal. I think the things that we really face are probably government regulations. I think are the toughest thing that we have in the automotive industry to performance industry to look forward to combat, but just to work with the government to make sure that the products are safe and legal, to make sure that we can still have the hobby that we want. The SEMA is working on the RPM Act, which is I would go to SEMA.org to get more information on that. But the fact that government EPA wants to lock down streetcars and race cars and register them, and there's just all kinds of avenues that SEMA is working to protect the hobby and grow the hobby too.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent, and I appreciate the update on that, because SEMA is, you know, we love it, and we love everybody that's here. We always have such a good time, and you're walking down the halls, and you're running into people, and they're saying hi, and what's going on, and, you know, listen to the podcast, and come by the booth, check out the cars, and by the way, just walk around and see some of the cool stuff that's been. You see Rob Ida's coach-built Tucker that he built?
Yeah, like, unreal.
Unreal, right?
Unreal,
like, it's
yes.
Pretty amazing. It's cool to see that kind of stuff. I was walking around with Adam the other day, and we're seeing not just the muscle cars. Like, we're starting to see some cool. We're seeing Porsches, which I know you're still a Porsche guy at heart.
Absolutely.
I know you are.
Yes.
We're seeing Porsches on the floor, not just in the wheel tire booth, by the way. Central Hall, we're seeing Porsches. We're seeing Z cars. We're seeing GTRs.
Z cars. I mean, I think, Adam, you're probably a stroke of genius with the Paul Newman cars, but also the Datsuns and the Nissans.
Yeah.
Because what are people talking about? 240Zs, too.
Yeah.
And
Peter Brock's got a 510 over here.
Yes.
He's got his little 510 with a LS swap in it. Older, like, ZZ crate engine, one of the whatevers they are.
We had a customer that came in here yesterday, and as I always do, I said, well, what's your favorite car? What are you going to build? And he said, 510 wagon.
Yeah. Chris Forsberg, the drifter, he's got a 510 wagon over here. Or his wife does or something. Like, it's all tricked out, wide fenders and turbo motor, and it's pretty cool. But that's great to see, too,
so
right?
If it's nostalgic, and if it gets people passion, it kind of gets their heart going, it's here. And the one last thing I must say is about SEMA. A lot of people say, you know, they know SEMA is just the show, but SEMA is doing a tremendous amount behind the scenes for the benefit of the members. And it was exciting to be on the board. I'm still on the PAC board, the Political Action Committee, and that's very important to support the work that SEMA is doing in Washington. And all of that, again, is on SEMA.org. But it's just an incredible place that we're...
But you guys have also been traveling a lot. You've been SEMA and the board, you guys have been going to Dubai and I think China and...
And that's a wonderful benefit of SEMA, to finding out for American companies, where are avenues of business other places, whether it's it's in Europe, whether it's in the Middle East, China. So that's a great benefit. And just to have a show like this, and also SEMA puts a lot of effort into getting media content and inviting media and people from everywhere. So there's a huge contingent of media from out of this country.
Yeah,
and so that's another great thing. Great story. So there was a husband and wife that came in here yesterday and speaking French. And all of a sudden, they switched to English, and I said, well, I was kind of blown away that because they were so giddy, they were so excited to look at the products. I said, what do you drive? And he said, 75 Firebird.
Yeah.
He said, I have a 75 Firebird with an LS3 in it, and I blast around Paris, and he said he has a house near Le Mans, and he said, I could drive anything, but I love my American muscle car.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
And the fact that kind of transcends what we're doing here, and it's just super cool.
We occasionally have Ian Callum come on. He's the head of design for Jaguar. Mm-hmm. He comes in, and he's a muscle car dude. Yeah. Like, his job is Jaguar, and he loves them, and he has them. But he's like, he's an American muscle car dude, you know, which is great. I love that about him. He does the Woodward Dream Cruise thing,
yes.
Which is tough because that's always during Monterey Car Week, so we never really get to go. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you go to, do you switch back and forth? Or do you?
No, I haven't been to Woodward in years, but that was
like
really
Monterey. That's
I
where
like
it's
Monterey.
Yeah, it's
but I like Woodward too, and it was just amazing just to see the last time I was at Woodward, just how big the crowd was and how emotional and what attraction people have to whatever. You know, you go into one restaurant, it's all about Mopars, and you know, you talk Mopar.
I wouldn't go in that restaurant. I'm just saying. I mean, maybe I'd stop by because Goldberg would be in there. Yeah, he'd be in there
because you'd mention Mustang, and they'd throw you out.
Yeah, hey guys.
But and then you go to another one, the Irish pub, and that's GM, and then there's Pontiac people and. It's just quite a melting pot of every enthusiast. But then you talk about Monterey, and you guys give Monterey such support and great stories from Monterey.
Yeah, we love Monterey. We do. We have a good time with there, but especially Chris.
No kidding.
Chris has a food schedule in his head, and it's all in August.
Well, it's been great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. We're going to hop over to the next booth, but we check you out online. It's Hotchkiss.net.
It's easy. It's just Hotchkiss.net, HOTCHKIS.net. Or give us a call at 562-907-7757 or Facebook or Instagram. And check us out because, hey, we're all about great suspension.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thank you, Matt.
Hey, guys, we're at the next booth. Well, sort of the next booth. We're here with Jason Harding from K-Tech Performance. How are you, Jason?
Good. How are you?
Good. So tell us a little bit about K-Tech. What do you do there?
So we're in our 40th year in business, actually. Our core business is engine building. We've built race engines over the years for General Motors and other professional race teams. And more recently, in the last decade or two, we've transitioned a lot more into aftermarket. So we have a large parts catalog. We sell a lot online. We build engines for private individuals, not just companies or race teams. And we also build cars in our full-service car shop in Michigan.
Okay, so the focus mostly is on high-performance engines, like seriously high-performance engines, right?
We specialize in LS and LT, so late-model GM V8 stuff, mainly Corvette, but Camaro, Cadillac CTS-V, that sort of thing.
Are you guys, did you start in racing?
Yeah, we started, our first race program was actually for Renault in the late 70s, and our big program, first one, was probably the IROC series. We did all the IROC engines from 84 to 90 in the IROC series. And then in the 90s, we were into Trans Am and some IMSA stuff. And then we became really popular after we got into Corvette racing. We supplied the engines for GM, Pratt & Miller, in this Corvette C5R and the C6R. We've been to Le Mans. We've won Le Mans with Pratt & Miller and GM racing six times. And then more recently now we are doing the Prototype Challenge series in IMSA. That's in its last year for that class. And we're doing a lot of Trans Am. We supply engines for Ernie Francis Jr. in Trans Am 1, who just locked down the championship with his Mustang. And Trans Am 2, we've got about half the field of the Camaros that are in the Trans Am 2 class.
Have you been to Le Mans?
No, I have not been to Le Mans.
You gotta work
I've done Sebring,
in.
I've done some other things, but yeah, I wish I would have got to Le Mans during the period where we were supplying GM Racing and Pratt & Miller.
So you're not supplying Pratt & Miller anymore?
You guys after GM went into from GT1 to GT2, they brought the engines in-house and we're no longer supplying the engines for GM Racing for the Corvette race team. We just did it for the C5R and the C6R, not the C7R.
So the aftermarket stuff, like everything what we're seeing here at SEMA, that's more of your domain, right?
Right, that's my department. I deal with all the aftermarket private customers, so online store sales, you know, quoting projects to build your Corvette up. Supercharge packages, a lot of road race stuff. We have a lot of customers who do like high performance driving events, track days, and things like that, and we support those types of vehicles. We do engine, suspension, brakes, aero, carbon fiber stuff, the whole thing.
Now, we just went outside and we looked at one of your cars there. You guys don't have a booth here, but you have a handful of cars and partners that you're working with.
Right.
Tell us about the car we just looked at outside.
Yeah, one of our customers is here.
Talking about aero, that thing is crazy in the front.
Yeah,
because it's a Pikes Peak car, right?
Right. That is Rob Holland. Rotec Racing built the car. We supplied the engine components for it. It's an LT4 with our camshaft and cylinder head package, supercharger pulley upgrades. It's making about 800 horsepower, and we're about to switch over to ED5 with that car. And he was the fastest Corvette at the Pikes Peak Hill Climb this year. His name is Rob Holland. I also have a C7 that we use to develop and showcase our products, and that's 860 horsepower. It's running at ED5 currently. You may have seen it in some of our YouTube videos, our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ktechperformance. We're doing a lot of daily blogs there.
Yeah.
We did the speed ring this year. I won the track mod rear-wheel drive class and the speed ring at M1 Concourse. So doing a lot of road race stuff.
So you're driving.
Yes, I'm a driver.
Yeah, you're driving as well.
Yeah, M1 Concourse opened 2 years ago. I'm a driving instructor there on the weekends, so it's always something, working at K-Tech during the week and instructing on the weekends. Yeah. So it's been a busy summer for me.
So what are you guys pushing at K-Tech right now? In the aftermarket parts division, what's the number one upgrade?
Really focusing a lot on C7, Z06 stuff. Most of our track day guys have C7. Z06 is our Grand Sport.
Where do you start with that? What's the basic package? A tune, a pulley?
Pulleys and tune, and a lot of people actually get the cam and head package too, pretty popular. And then people are just asking for more and more. So we've been doing some stuff with E85, and we've got a new ported supercharger program coming out.
Okay.
We're doing CNC porting in-house. We have our own full-service machine shop, and we've got a new mail-order cylinder head porting service that we're doing that's really popular, really affordable price. $499.99 for cylinder head porting service. You send us your clean disassembled heads, and we turn them around real quick and send them back to you. So we're doing that for
$500,
yeah,
which is great. But somebody has to do all that work,
right? You can also send the whole car, and we'd be happy to do all the work.
Okay,
for you.
Well, that's good. That's a good point. Where are you guys?
So we're in Clinton Township, Michigan. We're right outside Detroit,
okay,
northeast of Detroit. You know, it's the best place to be, Motor City for car stuff.
Okay, so heavy into GM. Long history with Pratt and Miller and the racing. Now let's talk about Ford stuff. What do you got? You got to have something. I don't even know that. I'm just putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
What's next?
In the past, we have not done much Ford. It's been mostly GM stuff.
Yeah.
However, in the motorsports department, we are supplying Ernie Francis Jr.'s Mustang in Trans Am 1.
Okay.
So yeah, we do really any maker model in the motorsports realm of it. In the aftermarket, it's focused on GM.
Yeah. We're also recording this for your YouTube channel.
Yes, we are on our YouTube blog right now.
The classic video YouTube move right now. Dude standing with a camera, some dude just walks right in front of the whole thing the whole time. It's like, what's the point of the flashing red light? I mean, what's the point?
There's just so many people here.
Like, he's still just walking oblivious, has no idea what's going on. I love seeing Michelle so much. The worst is when we film at LA Auto Show. And when you're there, we're doing like press days at LA Auto Show. You could be there with a crew of people, and they'll just walk in front. And I'm like, oh, I didn't see your 9 camera people and producers and PAs. And you didn't see any of that. Okay, so the Ford stuff is exciting. Any Dodge stuff? I mean, the Hellcat's got to be kind of exciting.
We actually do have a Dodge project in our car shop. We are putting a supercharged Viper V10 in a Challenger right now.
Oh, okay.
It's been a long-term show car project we've been working on for a while. It's getting close to the finish line. It's a wide-body car, and it's got Brembo brakes and Ridetech suspension, and we're integrating that Viper V10 with a ProCharger F1 supercharger, so it's going to be
exciting. How did that work? One of your guys in the shop showed up at the car and was like, hey, man, let's do something fun with it.
A local customer
wanted
to do this project, and you know, it's basically just a time and materials type of job, and said, all right, yeah, we'll do it. Sounds cool.
What kind of supercharger are you guys going to use?
ProCharger
F1. You are going to use ProCharger.
Yep.
Got a Pro Charger on my Fox Body Cobra.
Just saying.
Because you know what you guys were talking about before when we're talking about pulley upgrades on the Corvettes. Those are all the twin screw superchargers, so they're all packaged on the engine. I thought you were going to say something like, "Oh, we're developing a twin screw for the V10."
Oh,
I mean, like it would be huge.
No,
right?
Yeah,
it would be huge.
Pro Charger doesn't make a kit for the V10 and the Challenger, so we had to make all the drive components. We bought the compressor from them, and we made all of our brackets in house in our CNC shop. So we have that capability. You know, it's a huge project. But yeah, we're a big fan of ProCharger. We do a lot of different supercharger packages. But our cameraman right here, Ryan, himself has a ProCharger F1R supercharged C7 Z06.
Wow!
So we did the head and cam package on that, and he is putting down 840 right to the rear wheels through an automatic. So he's also my neighbor and my friend. So,
okay. And what does he do with the car?
Mainly street car.
Just street car.
Yeah, we'd like to get out to the drag strip. I think next season we'll hit the drag strip and see what it can do.
Yeah, he goes shopping at it. Hits up the AMPM.
Yeah.
Gets some gas.
We just got back from the YouTube call-out event, Oktoberfest in Maryland, Cecil County Dragway, where a bunch of YouTubers come out and drag race. And I brought my C7 Z06, which is a manual trans car. It's a road race car with a huge wing and huge aero. And I just slapped on some drag rails on it to see what it could do. And, in hindsight, we probably should have brought Ryan's car, being an automatic and a pro charger. But my car's all stickered up with the KTEC logo on it and everything. So it really shows the
street
name.
Car. Yeah. So it's a street car.
Yeah.
With all the branding, all the branding and all the stickers on it. Does it work at KTEC? No, he just really likes them. He's really, really a big fan of them. Awesome, man. So where are you guys online? Do you have social media that we should be following?
Yeah, Instagram, KTEC_Inc.
Okay.
Facebook.com/ KTEC Performance. Our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ KTEC Performance. We're trying to post almost daily blogs. So we like to show what's going on in the shop. We'll just talk about what we're building that day.
Okay.
And we'll film for special events like this, like the call out and Alcema. So we're really trying to get the videos out there because that's what really people really like.
All right. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Definitely check these guys out and hop up your Corvettes, your Camaros, maybe your Fords one day.
Thank you. Big fan of CarCast. Big fan of Adam and Dr. Drew Show, ACS,
that. I was just on the phone with him on the way here, and he was doing ACS. And we went through this whole debacle that you're going to hear about at some point with him losing his cell phone. And we us tracking it down using Find My Phone. It was nuts. So I'm sure there's a story there.
We got to talk to Adam. I got to get out there sometime to L.A. or if you're in Michigan, M1 Concourse, have him come out, do some track stuff next year maybe. I know Adam raced in Trans Am, and we do Trans Am.
Yeah,
so
he did.
We got a lot to talk about.
It's definitely on the menu for next year. He wants to do some more Trans Am racing. We work with Burton Racing on that. And he's such a good guy, and he's totally chill and laid back, and it was a great sort of instructor for Adam on getting up to speed in that car, if you will.
And, it sounds like Adam's amazing in that car.
He did great, but he came home and he's like, now I want to do this, and now I want a sequential transmission in my vintage cars, and now I want all this other stuff. So, but the guys at the shop love it because they're like, great, we got more fun stuff to do. So it's fun. So
yeah, we were just talking about next year possibly building a Grand Sport naturally aspirated track car with a sequential. I just need something that's a little lighter for the track and a little bit that I can beat up on a little bit more than my Z06. That's the street car with all that carbon fiber. So yeah, I do want a sequential transmission.
Excellent, man. I'm glad we got a chance to connect. I know we chatted a little bit last year, but we didn't get a chance to have to get something recorded. But this is fun.
I appreciate
it. And definitely come by the shop and check it out.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jason. All right, moving along. We're here with Ed Navarro. He's head of marketing and public relations at OER, which is Original Equipment Reproduction. This is a very important part of every car at SEMA, right? When you start putting cars together, you need all those reproduction OE pieces, the lights, the trim, the seals, and things like that. And that's where you guys come in, right? So tell us a little bit about OER.
Yeah, exactly. Like you were saying, these cars, in order to stay on the road, need maintenance. And where else can you find a product for it? OER, Original Equipment Reproduction. We try to manufacture the best parts that are needed, and they got to fill holes for these cars. And you can find OER parts through not only Classic Industries, as they are one of the major distributors, but also other fine restoration suppliers nationwide.
Okay. Now, what are some of the new parts that you guys are launching now?
Oh, man. This year we brought a bunch. But at least now what stands in or what I have on top of my head is later Nova model parts. We have a nice interior center console for 73 to 74 models. We believe that those are now the more entry-level cars for the younger enthusiasts that want to get into the hobby. A little easier, not as expensive as the first or second gen Nova.
Right.
We also brought a beautiful diamond cut grill for 76 to 78 Nova. For 76, I believe it was a super sport option, which is all blacked out. And then for 77 and 78 was the Rally Nova, which featured the whole chrome grille.
Okay. What are some of the makes and models that you guys specialize in? Are we looking at mostly GM stuff, Dodge stuff? Are you looking at Gen 1 Camaros? Do you touch into Ford at all? What are sort of the catalogs that you guys have available?
Well, I got to say the bread and butter is F-Body, which is Camaro and Firebird.
Yeah.
But we also do offer for Nova, Impala, full-size Chevy, GM truck, and what else do we offer? We also now recently or not too long ago expanded into the Mopar market, providing parts for the popular B-body cars, the E-body cars, and even the A-body cars, which we think is it's another kind of model that has gone forgotten because the B-body cars, everybody wants those, the GTXs, the Chargers, and stuff like that. But the A-body cars, the Darts, there's so many of them out there, and they're also kind of a, you know, a low buck entry.
Yeah, they're more affordable.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I mean, something like, you know, your Chargers and stuff are starting to get pretty pricey. You're seeing going across auction blocks now.
They
at
are.
Jackson and Mecum pulling some big dollars. The stock ones and the modified ones. You know?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It could be a wish list car for somebody, but there are a lot more affordable cars that are still pretty cool out there.
Yeah, yeah. And back to like the Nova, you know, on social media, when we share these parts that we're going to be releasing them, people tag us with their photos of these Novas, you know, like 74 to 79.
Yeah.
And man, I never would see so many before. And now that I'm seeing them and the way people are fixing them up, I'm kind of getting blown away. Like, maybe I want that car too now, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing when you, like, take a car that you thought was sort of an ugly duckling.
Yeah.
You're like, if you give it a little love, it could look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we're walking around the show today, and we saw the Ring Brothers built with this Javelin, this AMX.
That's right.
Yeah.
I did hear about that.
We just went and we saw it, and it looks amazing. They did a crazy job. I mean, it's an ugly car. Like, it's an ugly car to start with.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing, too.
It's kind of weird, but they did something crazy with it, and they just kind of, they didn't try to hide the characteristics of that car, but they had fun with it, and I think that's important, right? Like, that's what we can do with so many of these cars.
Yeah, you know, they're available. You know, I've seen young guys, you know, either take them to the track or either fully restore them, you know, make them street use. So, yeah, I think it fits the glove well for the younger enthusiasts who want to get into the hobby.
You know, it used to be so difficult to, when you find cars like that and you break a taillight or you need some trim piece or something's missing on the interior and you have to, you know, scavenge junkyards, and now we have Craigslist and eBay, but as those cars become more popular, it makes more sense for you guys to be able to reproduce those products or work with other companies to reproduce those products and then offer them up. Because, I mean, just looking around your booth, you walk by and you're like, yeah, there's just a display of taillights, you know, but you're like, that's the important part, right?
Yeah,
that's the piece
exactly.
Like, you want to be able to just get and not make a hassle over. You know, because people fuss over, hey, I'm going to do my engine, I'm going to do cams, I'm going to do supercharger, and what wheels am I going to get? And then somebody goes, oh, so I have a busted taillight. You know, what do I do? Where do I go?
Yeah, some of these pieces are finishing pieces to a complete restoration, you know. And, of course, a headlamp, a bezel, a tail lamp, they all stand out, you know. And plus, it depends on what state you live in. You might even get pulled over if it's a busted tail lamp.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Walking around the booth as well, we've got a couple of cool cars in here as well. We got one right behind us, the Chevrolet. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a nice 1962 Impala, a 409 engine car, all numbers matching. It belongs to the great Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of the CEO, and, you know, he has a great collection. So we had a chance to showcase one of his cars. So I'm like, why not? That's a beautiful car. It's triple black convertible. It looks immaculate.
Did you guys work with him on the restoration, or is this an all-original car?
It's all-original car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. I know he's got a hell of a collection. I have yet to been able to see it, but it's pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. And then on the other side of the booth, we also unveiled the brand-new 2018 Yanko Camaro with a Stage 2 high-performance package, which equals to about 1,000 horsepower. It's a beautiful car. That was something that SBE built. They needed somewhere they could unveil it and showcase it, and we jumped in the opportunity and had them unveil it here in our booth.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity to take, you know, mix the old and the new. And that car you're saying is for sale through SVE, I guess. I'm not sure how they're selling it, but they're limited to about 25.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure by the end of this show, all 25 are going to be sold.
I'm pretty sure, too.
Yeah, they did a pretty nice job on that thing. It's great. It's white, and I think it's supercharged. It's red.
Yeah, it's supercharged. It's
white with a red engine is as good as the, you know, like your white car with a red interior.
There you go.
You know? That the white with the red engine is just as good. I think we need to see a little bit more of that. It works on this car.
So, yeah, not only did we bring nice machines here, but great products. Every year we try to, bring out the best that we have in our inventory or in development even. I think the R&D team is doing a great job. They're always on it. Researching is a big part of developing a product. You got to know what exactly it fits to begin with and how many numbers of cars are out there that, the part will be applicable to.
Yeah.
Then after that, of course, you have to go through the machining process, the tooling process. That takes time as well. A lot of time and effort to make sure the product comes out as it did originally from the factory. That is what merits or allows for the part to carry the OEM brand name. OER is strictly down to the specs. So anytime you find a product with the OER label on it, you are for sure getting what is the best out there on the market.
So you being the marketing and the PR guy, every time the guys come around like, hey, we need to start developing for this make and model, do they make you go out and buy it?
I take the ideas, we get ideas all the time.
Like, Ed, maybe you should start building a Nova, because we need to develop parts for it, see what's going on, bring some parts in, start scanning some parts, making things fit. I imagine you run into some issues because these older cars, these old muscle cars, they're all kind of bent up. They're all a little out of shape. They're a little sagging over the years. They weren't really built to the tolerances of some of the new cars.
That's right.
So there's going to be fitment issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. Like you're working on your car and you start going to the aftermarket parts, you have to account for a little bit of custom work. Like you can do your best to make it fit as well as possible, but sure you guys get a lot of calls to go, hey, how do I make this work?
To make it work, yes. Do it yourselfer. It does take a little bit more effort. As far as having a high end restoration, yes, you want a professional doing the restoration. But if you're just a new enthusiast, working on your car in the garage, it is possible. Of course, you have to have the right tools to begin with. That's a big factor, the space and area to do it on, and it is doable. It just takes a little bit more elbow grease.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing great work here. You have so many products. That's the thing, is it takes a lot. There's a lot of SKUs,
Yeah, there is.
You walk down the down an aisle over here, and it's like, new supercharger. Yeah. All we got to do is make one, and then a couple of kits, maybe some bracket kits. You guys got to develop and come up with stuff all the time.
There's whenever you guys are in the area, come on down to our facility. We'll give you a tour. You can check out the rows and rows and rows of aisles that we have of product, and you'll be surprised.
Yeah, it's interesting to check that stuff out, so I appreciate the invitation. And where do we find you guys online?
You can go to oerparts.com. You can find the distributors in your area and nationwide that carry the product and the brand. Any fine restoration parts supplier will be able to help you out with our parts.
Can we buy parts off of your website?
Unfortunately not. OER is only wholesale.
Okay.
So you have to go through a distributor. One of our major distributors is Classic Industries.
Right.
They're based in Huntington Beach, California. They're one of our major distributors. But just like them, anybody else that offers these fine products could find the OER label.
Excellent. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate it. It was so much fun.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, that wraps it up. Oh, man, tired. My feet are killing me. Day two, one more day of SEMA coming at you tomorrow, I guess. I guess we're going to post another show tomorrow. We're going to swing by Brembo and JRI Shocks and Comp Cams and chat with those guys, see what's going on with them. But thanks for tuning in. And again, hit up our Facebook page and our website for more photos. We're at facebook.com/carcastshow. All right, once again, I'm Matt the Motorator DeAndrea for Adam and Chris. Thanks for listening.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Carcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.